number one, is not soft. And number two, he doesn't ask us to come into a soft relationship with him and a quiet, reserved relationship with him where there's no issue, where there's no fighting, where there's no struggle, where there's no war that has to be fought. That is not Christianity. That is not being part of the body of Christ. And so if you are looking for that, Jesus has said, you've got to look elsewhere. Because that's not with me. So when you hear a gospel that's being preached that is making you feel good and tickling your ear and telling you what you want to hear, you've got to test what's being said. Not that Jesus doesn't want to encourage. Not that he doesn't want to spur us on to good works. He does want to do that. That's who he is. But he also brings in confrontation, confronts. The word of God is alive. It's sharp. It's active. It cuts.
Yes.
So when it actually goes out, it's supposed to do something. It cuts away falsehood so that truth can actually reign. So when he talks about who the Son sets free is free indeed. In salvation, that is true. We have been set free. Thank you, Jesus, for what he has done and what he has brought us through. If we were here, we could tell the story of what God has done, and we're excited about that. But there is another thing where we begin to walk in freedom in areas of our life that have held us back. We could talk about our shadow, addictions, habits, things that we always fall back into because it's comfortable. He said, I don't want that anymore for you. I want you to realize so badly that I took you out of Egypt because I wanted to be your God. And I wanted you as my people. And I wanted to raise you up as a trophy of my grace. That's what I wanted. And so when I took you out, I didn't want you to go back in. What are you doing going back in? There's nothing back there. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I have the right to do anything, he said, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. He is talking about the believer's freedom and what they're allowed to do. You are allowed to do fill in the blank. But not everything is constructive or beneficial for you. And I want to take a little bit further. I am not allowed to do anything that I want to do. So if we are talking about the grace of God that is sufficient, I don't know what type of grace that we are hearing today, but there are things that God does not allow me to do because his hand is on my life. And it would not be beneficial for me to do that. Paul is saying on a deeper level, you are free. You are free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do so that you can feel good in the moment. Because he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't throw away your eternity for something that is happening here in the earth that is temporary. It's not worth the exchange. So if you feel like you have to put yourself in a position to pacify yourself because you feel that you're missing out, check your relationship with God and where it is. But I have the right. But it's not your life anymore. He died, so now it's his. And so when he asks you to come into a relationship with him, it is not some half-hearted invitation. He asks you to come in and partner with him on a lifelong journey of learning what it really means to be a son and daughter of the creator of the universe and perform a rewind in your life so that you can see how things were supposed to be. And so the reason why it is difficult is because anytime you rewind something, it's irritating. Anytime you have to redo something, it's irritating. You don't keep, one of the things you don't do that, and you know this would be irritating, if you ever have one of those old record players, and you said, put the little notch on there, and it played well, but every time that thing began to skip, you said, if I hear that thing one more time, I don't care if it's Nat King Cole, I don't care if it's whoever it is, I'm getting rid of that thing, because it's irritating. And so what God does is he says, I am coming in to perform a rewind in your life so that I can restore back what you lost. I'm trying to give you back your life. I'm trying to give you back what real freedom in me looks like. I'm trying to give you back joy. I'm trying to give you back peace. I'm trying to give you back that stuff that the enemy keeps stealing from you. There comes a point in our relationship with Christ where you have to allow the enemy to stop stealing. You've gotten past that point of where, okay, everyone's good there. Oh, you got me. You got me. But when it becomes every time, man, he got me again. I fell again. He got me again. There comes a point where you have to say enough is enough. I have to say no to that and yes to Jesus and say, hold on. If this is the same scheme that he is using so that I can fall, I've got to wise up, get the mind of Christ and say, okay, hold up. If this is set up for me, no. You know what it is for you. But I have the right to do anything. But it's causing a snare in your life. You are being snared by it. So if it's something that you can't master, it is mastering you. And you know that old adage, we said this, and you probably told this to God before, I can handle it. I can handle it. And before you know it, your emotions are not where they're supposed to be. Your mind is not right. You become addictive. And you can't separate your identity from what you're participating in. And once that begins to happen, it has you. This is happy 3 year. 3 year. It's a good thing. But eventually what happens is that the baby has to grow up. And it has to begin to do things for itself so that it can learn independence. It can learn what it means to actually go to the bathroom by itself. Okay? It can actually mean, hey, I'm cranky, so I probably need a timeout. Okay? So what I'm trying to get you to understand as a body is that do you know where you're at in this stage? I'm just not talking about being here 3 years. I'm talking about looking at your life as a body, as part of the body of Christ. Have you learned to self-soothe? Have you learned to put yourself in a timeout when you need one? Have you learned that if I'm not right emotionally, I've got to check myself and do some inventory to find out why am I not right emotionally? Is it? What is it about that God is asking me to do? Is it God asking me to do something that's hard and that's what's causing me the issue? I've got news for you. That's going to be for the rest of your life. Because when Jesus comes in and asks you for the invitation, he doesn't ask you one time. He keeps asking you, just as Missy said today. I just keep saying yes. And some would say, you're crazy. I think that. But there's something deep down inside that says, nah, I got to keep saying yes because of what he's done in my life. I don't want to miss out on God's goodness. And have you got to that point of where you're blocking God because God is asking you for something. God is asking you to do something and you're like, nah, I can't do it. And he wants you to break through that and say, yes, because this is the one thing I know about God. He will continue to go around that same thing and do one of these. Keep knocking on that thing. Yeah. Hey, I want that. Okay, good. Oh, hey, I want that. Thank God. That guy's not bothering me. Yeah. Hey, I want that. I wish you would stop bothering me. Hey, I want that. All right. You can have it. Because he knows something that you don't. See, a lot of times we think that, well, I just want to give God a part of my life because if I give God part of my life, then he won't ask me for the rest. Because the rest, I can. It's like a tithe. So I'm going to give him the 10% off the top that I can give. I'm going to give him what I can give. I'm going to keep the rest. And God said, I'm not asking you to give me what you can give. I want you to give me all of it. Because if I get all of it, that'll help you separate out what needs to go where. You understand that, right? If I get all of it, that'll help you to establish healthy boundaries in your life, and then you'll be able to do different things. If you give God half, God says, I can't work with you. I need all of it. So I need access to you. But Lord, I have the right to do anything. So I'm gonna stay online. I'm just gonna do church online, but it's safe. And we have a little bit of an issue right now where there was a fight to get people back in community. There was a fight. Because the enemy knows there's a benefit for us getting back in community because of what happens when we come together as a body. Things happen. Life happens. Things get broken off people because they get involved with other relationships. So the people who are already freed in that area, it has a way of just getting on someone else. Because more is caught than taught. That's why there's a fight for you not to get around other believers and spur one another on. It's just a fight. The enemy knows it. And so you can't step into that lane that he's running in. If you step into that lane, then all of a sudden you start going over and crossing into everybody else's lane. Everybody else is dealing with fear. Everybody else is dealing with doubt. And all of a sudden you're twisting and turning. And if you just stay in the lane that he's asking you to run in, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, oh, I'm going to stay in this lane. This is my lane. My lane is I'm going to love God. My lane is I'm going to embrace community because that is essential. And three, guess what? As a result of that, I can't help but serve the world. That's my lane. My lane is not fear. My lane is not doubt. My lane is not being comfortable. That's not my lane. So as a body, we've got to look and see what lane we're running in. Politics is my lane. Get out of that lane right now. Get out of the lane. There are things that are happening in the supernatural right now and things that are taking place in the earth today that you cannot afford to be in a lane that you are not supposed to be in. You got to hear the word of the Lord that says this is what is happening. This is what is going on. So you have a correct view and perspective about what Jesus is doing in the earth because there is a scheme that the enemy is enacting behind the scenes. And if you are not careful, you will fall prey to the scheme and your dialect and your communication and your level of trust in God will begin to change because you'll begin to adapt to what culture is saying. And instead of it being, no, whoever God puts in, God wants there. God knows what's going on. God's got a work he's doing on the earth today. I'm just happy to be part of the work. It'll become, you know what? He better. He better get it because it's going to affect my taxes. It's going to affect my taxes. Oh, yeah, don't worry about civil liberties. I'm just my taxes. I'm not concerned about freedom. It's just mine. And you start to fall prey to what the world is buzzing about right now. Do you know what God is buzzing about right now? God is buzzing about his church and getting his church ready for an outpouring of the Spirit. You can't afford to be on the sidelines, getting tied up in stuff. You can't afford to be there. There's nothing there. You can't afford it. God's raising up a church, and he said, I need you to get ready, because I'm going to pour my Spirit out. And he's imploring his church, separate yourself. Don't ostracize yourself so you don't know what's going on. There's a difference. But separate yourself. Have a different heart about it. Get my mind about it. So that we can attack it right. Church, I love you. I have a plan. Come back to the light. We got so many people right now who are just, they're dancing in the shadows. They're just dancing. Have an affair with the shadows just because it's just easier there. It's easier to be indifferent. It's just easier to dabble with sin because it's just easier because they don't have to fight against it. And I don't really have the strength to fight against temptation. It's because you're doing it in your own strength and you're not where God wants you to be. And because you forgot the scripture that says no temptation has overtaken you or seized you except which is common to man. But with it, God will provide you a way of escape so that you can bear up under it. You know what that means? You're going to bear it. It's there. But I'll give you the strength to endure and take it. But still stay in your lane. God said, I'm not taking the temptation out. That's part of life. I'm just asking you to look for the way of escape. And it's me, but you've got to be looking for it. If you're not where you need to be, If you're not in a position where you feel like I'm in the right standing with God, that temptation can very easily take you out. How easy was it for Eve? Easy. You're right. It does look good. No resistance. And then Adam. Okay. And suddenly, they realized, we're naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, I took of the fruit. How many suddenlies have you had to where you realize, shouldn't have did it? It was too easy for me. And I did it. He's going to come at the things that are just too easy for you to fall in. He's not going to come after the things that you got unlocked. If you're walking in confidence, unlock your God. He's not coming on that. Yeah, I understand the whole idea of being, don't be prideful, you'll fall, brother. But come on, if God gives you confidence and strength in an area, walk in that area. Okay, guard that, yes, but guard that weak area also, because guess what? Coming for that one. Why do you think so many, when they get up here, and they're at a pedestal, and they're at the pinnacle of life and success, all of a sudden he touches an area of their life, and it's because it was in the secret place that those things were manifesting and taking place that God was probably helping them try to deal with. And because they couldn't deal with it, once they got to the place of where they were successful, the pressure was too much because they weren't built up on the inside enough that they caved in. And you began to see, and God said, I don't want that for my people. I'm trying to get you so you don't cave. Stop caving. I'm just trying to help you not to cave. You're caving over that one thing. How can I give you something else? But I want it. If God is a God of love and he's a God of protection and he wants to help you grow in your faith, then God's going to give you what you can handle. Use what's happening in the world today as an example. Don't do that. Meaning, when you see people who are struggling and who now their issues are public, take that as a warning for you to say, I got to get some stuff right. Because God is so good, if it is not exposed in secret, it'll be exposed out in public for the world to see. So God says, listen, if we can take care of this, me and you, and let's expose it together, then all of a sudden when we get out in public, you can feel less burden in your conscience about what's going on. How's your conscience? I'm not saying you're not struggling with stuff. People are struggling. But you can have a clear conscience in the middle of it.
That's right.
I'm struggling. I'm fighting like to get through it. But my conscience is where I think it needs to be right now, which is good. But how's your conscience? Because it's hard to get up and to do things when you're getting pricked in that conscience. God said not perfection, but the conscience thing. You know the conscience thing, that one Paul, New Testament, he's doing things that he thinks are great for God, and he comes down, Jesus reveals himself and says, hey, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads or the pricks. What does that mean? It's hard for you to go against what you're feeling in your conscience right now. It's not right. I'm jabbing you for a reason. That's what he said today. Church, I'm jabbing you for a reason. Because I'm trying to get you to see what is essential for your growth. All I'm trying to do is to help you get into a place so that when I bless you, you can handle it. So you're going to represent me to an earth who needs me. But I need you to understand where your strength comes from. It comes in me. So I need you to be ready for every good work. Know that I'm doing a good work so that when I present you to the world, you're not going to be perfect because they're going to be thinking you're going to struggle with. But you're going to be strong enough in me so that you don't fall prey to what they fall prey to. Here's the danger of being a light in a dark world. The danger. If your light is not bright enough, it will succumb to whatever darkness that is in someone else. That's why you need to be careful who you counsel. You need to be careful who you're in relationship with. Because you are not strong enough in that relationship, that very thing that's hooking them will come around and hook you, and all of a sudden, hey, I can't do it anymore. Why? Well, you fell prey to what they fell prey to. So we're living in a world today, we got people falling out everywhere. They're falling out everywhere. Because their relationship with God is not strong enough to where it needs to be. And because it's not strong enough, they are going down instead of going up. Because instead of being able to pull people down, people are pulling them down because their conscience, their mind is not right. God said, listen, this is not right. Listen to me. Listen. Don't you see certain things that are not right? When you see things that are not right, God's saying, that's not how it's supposed to be. So realize that. Don't go that way. That's not how it's supposed to be. Well, Lord, that's just where the world's going. Exactly. But you don't go that way. Man, I'm telling you, being involved in, Brock, come here real quick. Take this comb. Get that other comb. Put it right next to it. Thanks. Being involved with my daughter's cheerleading has given me a whole new set of eyes when it comes to warfare. Ask my wife. Being able to see the reality of what people are fighting and how God wants them to combat it, confront it, and get over their stuff. I'm here to tell you today, God is not going to just take things out of your life just because they're not easy or just because they're not comfortable. God's not going to do that. He's not doing it. He's going to keep things in and say, I want you to go after it. Here's I'm excited about this because I really feel like God gave a revelation on this again last week when I was at the field. I got like it's like Revelation Chronicles, okay, at the field with God, me and God over the last couple weeks. But so we've got these kids, man. We're talking about 7, 8-year-old kids just learning how to play football. Pads are too big for them. Okay? They're trying to figure out what to do, how to hit. So the coaches are doing everything they can to toughen these kids up mentally so they can take what the actual game is going to look like. Because this is just practice. But when the game hits, and then you're tired and you're afraid, I'm trying to drive out that fear so that when you get in the game, that you don't get caught by something. I'm trying to get it out of your head so that you go after the opponent in the game and do what you can to bring them down. I'm trying to help you understand they're not supposed to take you out. You can stand and come against them. I'm trying to get you to see that. And God said, if you will just do what I'm asking you to do and let me do it, I'll show you. This is what was happening. We had a kid here, we had a lot of kids there, and we had a lot of kids there. And on go, the coach would tap the kid, and the kid from that side would come in here. It was the job of this kid to hit him. Tap that kid. Hit him. These kids are coming out so fast, he was knocking this one kid over. I felt so bad for him. And he was laying on the ground. I mean, facing the ground, man. Fit his face out. Coach came over, picked him up, put him down. Said, do it again. So we got this kid, I'm talking like 7, 8 years old. He had to be like 4'1", maybe. And he is getting hit, and the coach is like, no, take it. Fuck that. Take it. I'm trying to help you to see. In the game, that can be the very thing that causes us to win or lose. Your willingness or unwillingness to block or to take a hit. If you step aside and allow him to go through, we can lose the game. I need you to get over yourself, get over your thinking, and take the hit. Take it. Coach comes back around, puts the kid, honey, any small kid, come here. Yeah, you here, Monty, come here. Just don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. Just don't be fearful. Just stay right there. Just trust me. Okay. No, this way. Thank you. Okay. So, coach comes behind the kid. Same thing. Two lines are right there. Now, the coach is throwing the kid into them and saying, you won't get this. So, kid's coming. He's going. Takes him right back. I'm telling you what. This coach finally is doing this until the kid goes, ah! No. Like, wakes up. And God said, I'm trying to get you to wake up. So I'm going to get you to go sit down. I'm going to continue to throw. I'm going to continue. Thank you, brother. I'm going to continue. I want you to wake up. But sadly, we don't wake up unless we're confronted. I'm trying to wake you up, church. I'm trying to confront you with the issues of today. Not only issues of today, but to also wake you up so you can get over your issues so that you can come against the issues of today. But Lord, I don't know if I can do it. I got you. So that you can wake up. And you know, the things you're going through right now, you have nothing to God. God's just trying to get you to open your eyes to see. Hold up, we're in a fight. Because if not, what we do is, and we don't have a Starbucks. Need the Starbucks. Need the movies. And all of a sudden, all we do, instead of walking in faith, we start to settle for comfortability. And God says, unless I come in, I'm going to bring the fight to you. If you're not looking for it, I'm going to bring it to you. Yeah. God is so good. He said, church, I'm going to bring it to you. And if you don't see it, I can't help you. There are things right now that God is showing his church. If you will just take heed of what he's showing you, it is for your benefit.
Yes.
It is for your benefit, church, so that you can get up and rise up and say, okay, hold up, I can do this. And lose the facade. You know what the facade is? It's the outward appearance that things are okay, but there's an alternate reality going on the inside. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm really cool. No, I'll see you at the club this weekend. Don't worry about it. I got you. No, I'm cool. Don't worry about it. Yeah, she's just a friend. No. Yeah, we're cool. Just, you're cool on the inside. Yeah, cool. The facade that God sees right through and says, church, I'm not fooled. I can see it. I just want you to come out of the shadows and be honest. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be right where I feel like, oh, I'm right. Just get right, okay? Get to a point and say, okay, God, I'm going to throw this mask down. I already see it, God said. I already see what you're doing. Just be honest with me so we can kind of clean some stuff up.
Yeah.
Let's get some stuff right between you and me. Because, listen, if it's not right between us, we got problems. Try it. Well, some of you might be. And you know what it feels like. You know when something's not right, right? You can feel it. I mean, and women are great with this in their intuition. Something's not right with my body. I just and 9 times out of 10, they're right. Something's going on. And when it comes to spirituality, sometimes like we like overstep it. We're like, it might be I'm really not in, but I'm not out. I'm just kind of in between. No, something's not right. That's not right. Listen, you're not right. I mean, I'd rather be with my friends, but I don't know, church is kind of a thing, but I don't know. I'm just kind of playing this game. How'd you get there? How'd you get there? Well, you were good. Remember, you were good, but how'd you get there? Lose the facade. You know why? Here's the deal with people who walk with maturity, and those who walk with maturity can really look at this. You can't fool people. If you're walking with maturity and you're walking with the Lord, you come up with people right away, and that person telling you a story like, man, they're lying through their teeth right now. Because you know what's really going on.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit gives you intuition about that stuff. If you say it, they freak out. But just if you knew the stuff that the Holy Spirit tells people and they don't tell you, what do you mean? Oh, yeah. There are things that the Holy Spirit says. There's sometimes I'm like, Because you don't know who God is using to pray for you and send and help snatch you out of your pit. So when that person calls you up this week and says, hey, listen, saw you. What's going on? It's there. He's doing it for a reason. Hey. Hey. You're on the verge. Hey. Listen, that's why you ought to be careful when you post on social media. Because, listen, it tells your business. Okay. You present something. Things are all of a sudden what happens is people know, oh, that's what's going on. Listen, I love selfies, but take them with other people. Groupies. This way you can hide yourself if you need to. You know, if you get smart, I'm telling you now. So listen, if you get smart, you can hide yourself with other people. Don't be posting by yourself and smiling and you're like, nah, man, it's something. You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Because what you put out there, people see, and they come up with their own conclusion about what's going on. And it, a lot of the times, you're presenting something that is only a small picture of what is happening in your life, but people look at it and say, God, there's something wrong. And the Holy Spirit will get on to people and say, better call that person right now. That's why I don't post stuff. You'll see me. He hasn't posted in a while. I don't post stuff. The only thing I post is something about my girl sometimes, and maybe an image or stuff that's going on in church. I don't post nothing. You're not social. Okay. We want other people to see what we're doing in order to put ourselves into a position to say, ha, I'm here. I'm there. Huh. And in reality, what's happening is that people don't care. I don't care about your new dress. I don't care about what you ate for dinner. I really don't care. People don't care if they're living their life with purpose. They don't have time to go back and find out what's happening on social media. 9 times out of 10, people aren't even looking. You know, when you look at website or click averages on social media, they're like 3 seconds sometimes. People are just, all they want to do is they get that eye candy real quick. That, you know why that's what social media is, right? It's just eye candy. Ooh, okay, good. Next one. That's all you're doing, back and forth. Eye candy. Ooh, she's okay. And before you know it, that's all you get. It's just eye candy. That's all, you're not getting the real picture. I'm glad you went on a trip. Praise God. Go on the trip. I'm really glad. But it is used, it should be used as a tool. Not to reveal the world who you are. So that all of a sudden we can now fall in love with a picture that you filtered. So that we can see. Because beneath the facade, we got depression. Yep. Come on, we got dysfunction.
Yeah, yeah. I see that.
Yeah, I saw that one. And you begin to see, it's not worth it. So I'm trying to help you understand today. Be wise in what you do. Lose the facade. You know why church is important? We talk about church. It's got to be filled. It can be filled. That's not the idea. Okay? The idea is for the church to come together and be inspired to do great things for God. Yeah, it can be filled. That's fantastic. But there is a power that happens when the church is together. That's why we're always asking, hey, don't forget to engage. Don't forget to come back into church. Because it's so easy for you just to flip off by the wayside. Especially during something like this, a pandemic for six months. Now, 6 months. In and out of quarantine. 6 months. You got to get to a point in your life where you begin to fight through some things, fight through some depression, fight through some anxiety to get back in to what God is calling you to do. Get back into it. Don't let it take you out. It's one of the reasons why he said, listen, if it's not, you're not going to go after it, I'm going to bring it to you. I'm bringing it to you. Here comes that anxiety again. Come against it. Here comes that fear again. Come against it. I'm depressed. Strengthen yourself in me. Church is coming up Sunday. Get to church. I don't know if I can. Get to lose the facade. Get to church. Because deep down inside, you know there's something that's longing, that's there. Whatever church you go to, get there. I got to fight through some stuff. I don't want to fight through it. Then you die. I'm going to tell you this. There has not been a time, my parents probably attest to this, I don't know a time when I haven't fought for something. I don't know what type of God that you are involved with. There has not come a time where I don't remember in my life where I've not fought for something, some sort of ground, fought against some sort of emotional deficiency, fought against a limitation, fought against a mindset, fought against a devil, fought against a stronghold, fought against something. Not a time. And so if you're looking for that, there's the door. There are other churches that are on the street Lutheran, Methodist, all that stuff, who'll tell you what you want to hear and come in and have a superficial relationship with God and feel great about when you leave, but still leave addicted, still leave frustrated, still leave drowning in despair, going home, hitting the bottle, having sex with whoever you want to have sex with. Just do it because the church is welcome. It's got love. And people who are not getting strengthened, they're dying. And if you can see, and if God would allow you to see the veil that is over them and the things they were dealing with, it would break your heart because people are not experiencing God. They're experiencing a service, a whatever it is. I just want to feel something again. That's what people are looking for. I want to feel something in this man. Let me feel something. Let's go deeper than feelings. You need God to come in and correct something. So that when something like this happens, and if it does happen again, that you are not back into whatever it was you were back into. So that he can fix what's broken, so that you can stand in the middle of it and endure it. Endure it. 1 in 3 people during this time stop going to church. 1 in 3. Completely. Well, not going. Where is your relationship with God? Where is your anchor? And God was so good that he lifted the veil so that we could see it. And so that we could see. Hold on. The church isn't as strong as it looks. And I could have told you that just by the people I come across. And this is not easy, but it's true. Because you come across people, and you talk to people, you know right now, they're passive, they're a victim, they're not ruling in life. And when you have those three things going on, it's a recipe for, I'm going back to the other camp. It's better over here. You know when you were younger. That camp's better. It's got better food. The girls are prettier. I'm telling you, on some level, that's what happens. We go back in and like, this camp's good. It's unsafe. Man, the unsafe people are better looking. They have more money. Too many people in the church is holy, man. I don't want that. Unsafe people are better looking, make more money, they got better lives. It just seems like they're always doing something. And if you're not careful, and then it takes God that much longer to say, Brock, go get him. Go get him. Bring him back. Yep. Kristen, go get him. Bring him back. Yep. How long did it finally take you to say yes to God? And to still say yes, even though it's a struggle. We got people right now saying, I'm jumping ship. And it's just too hard right now. It's too hard. Yep. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. This is the end time. This is where it's coming down to it. Okay? And so if we can't pull our pants up and we can't really say, okay, I'm for him, then we're going to lose out on the benefit of it. And I'm sorry. And if you're here and you're one of those people that say, well, I'll never lose my salvation, that you don't really understand the responsibility that you have as a Christian, that when those things start to come in your life, you have a responsibility to submit to God, resist that temptation, and he will free from you. If you're not submitted to God, you're already gone. I told some people that I'm about to close. Mike, come on up. There's a boldness that's coming in the church. There's a real boldness that's coming in the church. You're going to start hearing some stuff that's going to shock you. It's going to shock you. Probably here. I'm astounded right now. Because God is over the facade and the preaching that tickles the ear and does nothing for the heart. Nothing. So what that means is that there's going to be a real separation. Go ahead, Maria. Book of Psalm 42, put that verse up for me. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. There is a call that God is putting out to the church right now and say, hey, listen, I need you to come into a relationship with me and allow me to get into the deep places of your life. Because I can't get you to speak about it if I can't get in and heal it. I can't get you to talk about identity if I can't get you to realize who you are and who you aren't. I can't get you to talk in about faith and what I'm doing in your life if you don't allow me to get in and do it in your life. I need you to understand that I want such an intimate relationship with you, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're going through, that you can come to me and that you are accepted in me. Somebody need to hear that today. That God said, lose it. Just lose it. Just be accepted. That means you might have to just cry through it. Talk to him about it. Listen, there is such a relationship that he wants with you. He already knows your thought even before you think it. He says, I perceive it from afar off. So what are you hiding? So the more that comes back into me, and the more that I grow my relationship with him, the more confident I can be that he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. My messed up, my dumb stuff, the stuff that I say and do, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And what it does, it causes me to relax and to move forward in him. And I can be me while he is doing something in me. It doesn't happen any other way. God's not going to just all of a sudden be like, snap his fingers and you got it. He's going to continue to call in. There are wells in there, deep wells that God wants to bring up. Deep wells. The Bible calls them wells of salvation that are there. But until you understand your depravity, you'll never appreciate the wells. Oh, man. You don't realize how messed up you are. You don't realize how crazy you are. God already knows. If you drop it, God said, we'll move through it quicker. And my power will flow through you. And you'll be able to minister to other people because you know I'm there. Yes. Perfect love casts out fear. When you know that you're made in my image and that I love you, you can walk in confidence. And you got two things going on at the same time. I'm walking in the flesh and I'm walking in the spirit. I'm not walking in the spirit 24/7. Right. People say, well, I'm not walking. Who is? Yeah. I'm in the realm of the spirit. That I'll talk to. You're the same. It's natural to be spiritual. And spiritual to be natural. I could be myself, but still be considered a Christian. Spiritual. So for me not to be me, it's a tragedy. Because I think that I have to be something else in order for God to use me and represent him to the world. And the reality of it is, God's not looking for nobody else. He said, I've created you. Crazy you. And if you can't accept the fact that you're crazy, you haven't come to grips with yourself. You got to listen. And it's okay. It's okay. God made you that way. He made you quirky and funky. He made you that way. You're also a spirit being now. And that just compounds the fact that you've got some stuff. You're eating on and operating on a whole other plane. And so, coming into a relationship with Christ and knowing that he loves you no matter what gives you the ability to go. Come on. Keep going. Keep going. Because you know that he's doing it with you. If he didn't want you to do it with him, he'd use somebody else. Sit on the sideline. When everybody else is on the field working it out. Because you're missing out on the benefit of working it out with other people. There's something to be said about just getting on the field. How many of y'all don't raise your hand? And because I know someone would answer this in another way, just keep it to yourself. How many of you would rather be on the sideline? You're in the game, you go to a game, the coach says, all right, first string is out today. Put you in first string. Sean? How many of you say, it's okay, coach? You know my backup? He's been working really hard. He deserves a shot. I'd be like, coach, put me in now. because that guy is always ready to take that guy's spot. You understand what that looks like? You've got to be ready to always step up and take the next spot. You know the most valuable person on the football team is not the quarterback. It's the backup. He's valuable. We need someone else. We better have a good backup. You get what I'm saying? You've got to be ready. If someone taps out, we got Christians tapping out. You up? You up? Let's go. You up? You got to be ready. That's why in season and out of season, you're ready to give a reason. So we're not tapping out. I know you're tired, but it's okay. Strengthen yourself. God's getting ready to do something and pour out a spirit and use you. What's the issue? Come on, church. I'd rather die in the battlefield than sit at home thinking about what my life could be. So I'm going to get up. I'm going to learn some stuff. Learn some new stuff. Get in. I might fall down. I'm going to get up. I might make some mistakes, but I'm going to get up. I might not want to face it, but guess what? I have a coach behind me who wants to get up, and I'm going to force you to face it because I want you to get after it and get over it, because there are people who are looking for what you got, and I need you to get over yourself so that I can use you. Church, hear me today. God said, I got you. I want to use you. 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 Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, just the tenacity of your spirit to continue to come after us when we stop running toward you. Thank you that everyone in here has a plan and purpose in your eye. They all do. But I know also right now, Lord, that you're doing something on the earth today. You're dividing it up. You're saying it's time to be for me. It's time to come in. And all the way in. How many of you would say, just show your hands and say, listen, God's tapping me on that shoulder. He keeps going on tapping me and say, hey, that's I want that. Hey, I want that. Hey. Come on, just be honest. Facade down. Hey, I want that. I want it. You're not going to stop. I want it. Because I got something for you. I want my spirit to flow through you, but you got to let me get in. Lord, I can't get in. Yeah, you can. I'm going to stand right behind you. We're going to confront it together. Listen, I'd rather be ready for it. I'd rather be ready than all of a sudden be surprised by it. I'd rather be ready. Eyes up real quick. Look at me. So, in football, they have an exercise. It's called holding a ring. Okay? One guy's in the middle like this. Whole team's around me. Coach taps one of the kids, comes flying in. The kid's got turned and hit him. He don't know where he's coming from. He just knows. He sees him out of the corner, he's got turned and hit him. But he keeps doing it. To get him used to, you don't know where it's going to come from. It was turn, block it. Turn, block it. It's all about reflex. All about reflex. God says there's going to be things coming in your life right now that you don't know where it's going to come from. Just turn, recognize it for what it is, resist it. Okay? Turn. Resist it. Turn. Resist. I'm just teaching you to take multiple hits. Not just one, multiple hits. So just be ready. So when it comes, take multiple hits. But I want to be used. Just how you're used. You gotta learn to take multiple hits. Multiple hits. Ever see someone make a great tackle in the game? Sometimes they gotta shield one, another one, and then run and make the tackle. God said, there's gonna be stuff that's coming in from all different sides. The enemy's gonna bring in. Resist it. Do what I called you to do. It's too much going on right now, Lord. I know. Stand firm in me with the armor on. Stand firm in me. Take up the shield and the sword. Take it up. I can't. If you don't, you're not going to make it. I said this before. There were times in my life that God said, if you don't stand up and fight this, you will die. Play now. And it wasn't like he was patty kicking me and saying, son, I love you. Such a relationship with you. It wasn't the Jesus with the flowing hair. It wasn't that Jesus. It was Jesus with a tattoo. Faithful and true. That said, you don't say another thing, you're going to die. Okay. I get up, I keep standing. get up and keep standing because I know the moment. I know the moment. I don't. Death is creeping out my door. That is hard. No, it's reality. Because there's stuff that's encroaching and battling for my soul right now. Right now. You don't think? Right now it is. Every angle. Right now. There are things happening you can't see. Right now. It's coming against it. Trying to attack it. Trying to get a hold of it. If I'm not standing firm where I need to be, I might not be here. I got to keep standing up and fighting. The Christian church has lost what it means to fight. They'd rather die in the wilderness than walk into what God has called them to walk into because they didn't realize, someone forgot to tell them, you got to stand up and fight. What does that mean? Yeah, I got to put some things into practice because when I get up tomorrow, guess what? He's coming for my head. He's coming for my heart. He's coming for my feet because I'm taking good news. And so if I'm not careful, I'll get taken out in any one of those areas. Lord, each one in here right now, who's standing in here under the sound of my voice, I pray that they would get such a revelation for who you are, an understanding of your love for them, that they are valued in you, that they don't have to hide, that they can come out of hiding and be who you called them to be, receive what you called them to receive, and move on. There's no fear in love. Shame is a liar. It has no place. I thank you that the Spirit of God, who raised Christ from the dead, dwells in each one of them, and that they don't have to stand back, but they can go forward. They can go forward. And that life is on the horizon. Life, joy, peace, ruling, victory. Those things are on the horizon. And at the same time, that there would just be such an expectancy to know that the best is yet to come in their life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.